Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I'm Lee Brown, and today's episode brings you a story that you've never heard before. I'd like to welcome to the show Al Block, one of my amazing realtor friends that I know through volunteer life. Al, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Leigh.
All right, so tell our listeners where exactly you're located, how long you've been in real estate, any of your backstory that they need to hear to understand you.
Well, this might take a few minutes. I'm going to try to make it brief. I have engulfed my life as a realtor since the age of 19. I'm turning 50 next week. And I have never done anything else in my life for a living. From the age of 19 on, this has been my career focus. This has been my life. I am an associate broker in the greater Detroit area, service all of Detroit and the metropolitan area. I have a pretty vast book of business I've built over the years. I am the president of the Greater Metropolitan Association of Realtors. I've been very involved with the board since probably 1997. For the most part, I've been a professional director pretty much all of that time, except a couple of years I was on the board of directors serving realtors and advocating for our clients. I'm co-owner of RE/MAX First. We have five offices in two counties, about to be the Tri-County area. Hopefully, we're working on a new location. I could go on and on and on, but I won't.
That's okay. It's a realtor thing that we're very good at going on and on until we get to some end point in the future. And before you tell your story, I want to ask a question about something that you've mentioned that I don't know our listeners understand how rare it is to talk to someone who is a first career realtor. In fact, the National Association has some processes in place where we're trying to encourage more people to look at real estate as a first career. But as you know, most people come into this from something else because it's a commission-based business, and that's hard to come into if you don't have a good foundation. So out of my curiosity, and because our listeners probably want to know too, how does a 19-year-old make it in real estate when it's commission only and you're obviously young and people doing real estate are older than you? How did you survive the rough and tumble income flows of real estate?
I guess I really didn't know any different. I was lucky a little bit. I was going to college at the same time when I started. My parents both passed away by the time I was 19. My father when I was 15, my mother when I was 18 or 19. I was left with a little money, not a ton. Like, we were of meager means, let's say. I had a little bit of seed money. My sisters, both are much older. We had a house in Hamtramck, which is like a Polish, well, it's hard to say. It's a very unique ethnic community inside of Detroit. Detroit surrounds it. And it's a very modest place to grow up. And the house that we grew up in, my sisters basically gave to me. It needed a ton of work. It was relatively worthless. So I spent an entire summer fixing it up. After my mom passed away. And I also had a little bit of that seed money, a little inheritance, and basically threw that at real estate. It was tough. I made $6,000 my first year in real estate. And that's what I tell agents these days, especially, you know, now that I'm a co-owner of our company. I tell them that you've got to stick with it. This is like any business, and try to throw a little capital at it. It was tough. It was very, very tough. And I didn't even have like a high school base. I was in a seminary to become a priest, quite honestly, in Toledo, Ohio area. I stayed there for a few years, went to a regular guys high school, all boys high school, but bussed from the seminary daily. Obviously, I didn't become a priest. However, it taught me discipline, and it taught me how to live humbly with very little. I was just able to try to make it, and I did. So
basically, even though your circumstances were not ideal, obviously that's not ideal to be orphaned by the age of 19, you were lucky enough to have sisters who didn't try to clutch and grab everything to themselves, because even if they didn't really want it, they knew it was going to give you a start. So we'll say that was definitely one of those God moments that has long-term impact, because look how many lives you've impacted in real estate. And I could obviously go down 87 rabbit holes right now, because I did not know that you went to a Catholic high school and were going to go to seminary. And my listeners like my short episodes. So listeners, Al might come back just for the record because I'm fascinated by this. But anyway, we're going to dial into our usual path. And in that many years of real estate, Al, I could probably let you talk for 14 days straight about the stories and the people and the stuff that has occurred that you never, ever expected. So for this episode, and obviously, you know, with the way the podcast goes, I am always interested in the stories of things that occur that you would never, ever have seen coming from the outside until you were in the game yourself. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners one of the crazy stories about your life in real estate. And by the way, we only have two ground rules for the podcast. One is, as everybody knows, I don't mind slightly salty language, but I don't like the big ones. No GDs, no F-bombs, no see you next Tuesdays. And if there are guilty parties involved, let's make up a name for them so that they are the only ones who know they are guilty and we know that they know. So anyway, Al, tell us, in all those years, what happened in real estate that you're still mind-boggled about?
Here's the crazy shit. Here it is. I was in a softball league. I was sponsoring and playing in a softball league with a great group of guys. They invite a past client, basically, or a client. He invited me into their group, and they said they need a sponsor. You're in business. So I said, okay. And then I played with them as well. And I thought, you know, great opportunity to get business. And very shortly, it became less about the business and more about just having the camaraderie. Well, that has proven that, you know, if you sponsor a softball team, you better play with them, because I noticed other sponsors out there, they didn't get business like I did because they were also realtors that sponsored teams, and because they never even showed up to games, never played. So these people became my friends, and this has been starting, it started about probably in the year early 2000s, we started doing this, and it has been great ever since in the way of referrals. Obviously, I don't play anymore, but here's what happened. One of the gentlemen on the, in fact, he wasn't on the team. He was on another team, but we were friends with this other team. They were called the Slappies. He said, you know, he needed to buy a house, and I, you know, asked for my help, got together, we started looking for homes, did our thing. And then this was before, you know, internet was perfect, or our MLSs had pictures of every piece of the house. They only had like a picture of the front on the house. And so we had looked at homes in a neighborhood where they kind of look all the same. He was maxed out at a certain price point, or they were maxed out at a certain price point. And so we saw a home that was a little outside of their range, and they really wanted it, but it was just no way they could stretch themselves. Well, I saw one day that the listing had a price reduction, and I called him up and I said, hey, look at the house. It's now right where you need it to be. It's at the top end of your range, but you can do it. And he's like, yeah, let's write an offer. Let's put that together. So I did, and this was before e-signing. I actually had faxed him the paperwork, and he had signed and faxed it back. So done deal, the listing agent and the seller accepted the offer, and the conversation was, wow, they even threw in those great appliances. This is when stainless appliances were starting to become a thing. And so they were like so happy. I was so happy. I was like, wow. So it now is time for a home inspection. Well, we meet at a certain time to do the home inspection. I'm at the house. They're running late. I call them. I'm like, hey, guys, you know, where are you at? And they're like, we're in front of the house. And I said, where? And they said, in front of the house. And I said, no, you're not. And then they said, well, we're at the house. And I'm like, no, you're not. Well, figured out real quick that I sold them the wrong house.
Good thing it came with those stainless steel appliances.
Well, no. The wrong house, when I opened the door and looked closer, the appliances were very crappy.
Oh.
And it's because it was the wrong house. So apparently what had happened was the house looked the same in the picture, and it was the same neighborhood, almost the same street. I was like, oh my God, I made the biggest mistake ever. And so I said, well, come to this house around the corner. Check it out. I said, don't worry, guys. We can try to fix this. You know, when I hung up with them, guess who the first call was after that?
I'm guessing your broker.
No, it was my wife. I said, holy crap. I sold these people the wrong house. Oh, my God. You know, so they came. They looked around the house. And oddly enough, this house actually was better in one way, that it had more brick on it. Instead of being like a brick front, it had brick all the way around. And they were happy about that. Obviously, the place needed repainting. It didn't have stainless steel appliances. So I said to them, I'm going to make this right. Well, the master bedroom was hideous. It was deep, dark purple walls and deep, dark purple ceiling. And the wife's comment was, I hate this. I hate this room, but, you know, the house is okay. So they ended up actually liking the house better for the main parts of it. So I said real quickly when I was there, I'll paint this room. I'll get this room painted. Don't you worry. And so after the closing, I had purchased a stain kill paint. It had to be painted four times light. It needed two coats of paint, two coats of regular, and it still had shown through a little bit. It was the hardest room to paint ever. I kind of like to paint. Some guys golf. I love fixing up houses. So the funny thing now then, after we got back into the softball, the rumors started going around. And this was actually a good thing. You know how they say no news is bad news, or no...
The only bad press is no press.
Right, right. So what happened was, throughout this entire softball league, and especially our team and their team, it got out. The big joke was, hey, you buy a house from Al, he's going to paint it for you. And let me tell you, that was the best thing that ever happened, because it became viral. I've sold so many homes to these people over the years from this group of people. It's turned out to be such a positive.
And frankly, everything's easier than deep purple with four coats of kill. So it's no big deal to paint a room in these houses, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if this has ever been a story you've had before, but that's my story.
I've not yet had anybody on the podcast who sold the wrong house, frankly, but there's so many interesting things that you mentioned. The first thing I have to point out to our listeners is, in real estate, those of us that have been in long enough, when you start telling stories, you spot all the anachronisms. The fact that we went from the MLS book, which had the picture taped in, to these green screens where, oh, the front picture was like revolutionary. And of course, now you have Matterport and all these ridiculous technologies. We're very spoiled now, but back then it was shocking to have that picture. And then you mentioned the faxing of the offer and then waiting for them to sign it and then fax it back. And I had forgotten how many days I stood in the break room waiting for a fax to come back across. And then you'd have 8 of the 9 pages come back and one got squished up and you couldn't read it. And you had to call them on their landline. And then landline was busy because it was faxing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So you think
they're on dial-up internet.
Yes. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's such an interesting motion of time, but what never changes in real estate are that we do make mistakes. And the difference between the professional realtors who get it and who survive, and not just survive, but become leaders in their markets, is their ability to say what you did. I screwed up, but I'm going to make it right. And that's the most magical sentence in any of our lives. Wouldn't you agree, Al? I mean, we got to teach that to this next generation. I don't know that our young people have fully understood how accountability works, and it changed your business.
And this whole story is with a little asterisk, so the public understands that, you know, it's pretty tough sometimes to actually really get messed up by something like what I did. They did have an inspection period, and they could have got out of it just because they didn't like the deep purple room. That would have been allowed. But you're right. Communication, too, these days, especially with the generation, new generation, we have to talk to people. We have to establish rapport. You almost have to be friends with these people. In fact, most of our clients, they become our friends through the process. And I think they sort of forgave me because they know we're friends. We play baseball together and all that. And they saw literally how I was trying to make it right. You've got to absolutely own that when you do something wrong, or even if you don't do anything wrong, you have to do certain things to give that customer service and make these people feel like the experience was great.
And you remember too that as a realtor, when you're thinking about your business, you did invest that early capital in it so that you could make it. You didn't want to let all of that go over a mistake. And so you knew too that in acknowledging the mistake and making it right, and then learning how to laugh through it, because obviously when the ball team start talking about Al will paint your house, you have to have a sense of humor about yourself to say, man, that's what happened and here I am. it draws people to you, and not just because you acknowledged it and made it right, but because you were visible. You were there for the ball games every week, and being in the middle of your community has an enormous impact on people's lives, because I don't know that every realtor remembers every day that what we do for people is really big. It's really intimate because you're in the middle of their lives. And that was another thing I heard in your storytelling. You understood their budget and didn't go down the road that many have gone down before of pushing them to an uncomfortable place. Mm-hmm. You respected it and waited until something fit them to alert them to it, because you get it. And you've been getting it for years, how big a deal this is to the people we serve, so that you can go out to the ball field and not get stuck in right field or get put on the bench, because we know that's where you wind up when you're at the bottom of the coach's hierarchy. We know this. If you want the good positions, you better be the one who's there and doing it the right way. So it's a heart-wrenching story in some ways. It's funny to me as a realtor because I've made my own mistakes, but at the end of the day, you're really showing the right way to do this business over the long haul. And for that, I know that your clients are so happy to recommend you.
You know, that reminds me of something. I was at leadership training. You probably remember better than me. What the heck was that called? It was a couple years ago, when you're president-elect of your association, you go and there's some training. Was it Leadership
Summit? Leadership Summit, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to that with our executive officer. It was a very powerful experience because I don't know if it was you who said that when we were there, but they said that people need to know that our story, you know, we have a story to tell. And what I want the public to know, especially my friends and family, that we're part of the community. People, there's this thing that people sense about realtors that I think is really different. And well, I'm no different than your baker. I'm no different than the guy who fixes your car. We're just like anybody else. You know, there's always the bad seeds in every type of work. But people need to realize that we have a code of ethics. We strive to be very, very good to the public. This is part of our community. We want to make things really good. We always want to do a great job. And we are still just like rubbing elbows with them every day. You see them. There's nothing to be afraid of from realtors is what I really want to get across. That there's sort of this, you know, even I call past clients sometimes and just say hello. And they're like, I'm not ready to sell. I'm like, that's not why I called.
I was honestly just saying, hey.
I was just calling to say hi. I really am interested in knowing how things are going. And yeah, if you ever want to sell, that's great. But that's not why I'm calling, you know. You can call me someday if you want. You Google my name, you'll find my number, you know.
Which is where if more realtors learn how to stay visible and engaged in their communities in the way of the old guard. So thinking back to these anachronisms, some of our anachronistic behaviors need to come back. The ability to sit down and small talk with somebody without a device. Mm-hmm. And to go up to somebody that you know something happened in their world last week and ask them how they're doing now. Realtors have that as a natural talent, I believe. And if we promote that more and demonstrate it more, which also shows our leadership in how we drive property rights and how we help with home ownership, we lead with hearts, we lead with minds, but we need to lead with relationship. And I think that's what telling our story is about, because it does change our communities. And then that would change the reputation so that we can not have to tell people that you don't have to be afraid of realtors, but they are. So one by one, we fix it. Can't fix it overnight. You fix it one by one. And you're doing great things in the greater Detroit market. And I thank you for your volunteer service and for all that you do for the other members there who probably don't even know the association exists or what it does for them. But, you know, one by one, we pick them off too. And with that being said, Al, somebody's listening to this podcast. They're a realtor in greater Detroit. They want to get involved and find out why you volunteer, or they are a buyer or seller of real estate that says, I need to get to know this Al Block guy better. How can people find you in the wide world?
My phone number is 1-800-SOLD-678, 1-800-SOLD-678. That goes right to my cell phone. They can text it, they can call it, or my email, alblock@remax.net. And also shout out to my my son. He's been my assistant, but he's a realtor as well the last 4.5 years. And I couldn't be prouder. Hayden Block can be reached also at 586-894-3954. He's a wonderful kid. And he came to me. My wife even said, don't get our kids into real estate. Don't force them. Let them do what they want to do. And you know what? He came to me. And I told him, I almost pushed him away. I said, go find something else. Go to school.
Save yourself.
Yeah, he wanted this. And the beauty of it, his middle name is the same as my first name. So maybe if I go away and leave this earth, he can somehow assume that role.
Well, high five, Hayden, because as the child of a realtor myself, I'm the one whose dad said all along, you belong in this. And I ignored him until I finally got sucked in. So I have a special affinity for the parent-child teams because there's a beauty and being able to work with your family every day, and I wouldn't trade any of it. All right, so listeners, I know you people. I know how you operate. Y'all didn't write anything down. You were enjoying the dulcet tones of Al's voice, and you're laughing at my accent like you do, but it's okay because all of Al's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode, so y'all can access it anytime and reach out to him with your referrals if you are a realtor who has people moving in or out of Detroit, or if you are a regular buyer or seller. Just call Al and tell him you want to give him a high five, and maybe you'll talk to Hayden too, and you can work with both of them. Al, thank you so much for not just your volunteer work, but for being on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Leigh. I love your stuff, and I think what you do is great, and you work hard for the public. You work hard for realtors. You work hard for your clients and customers. I don't think I know a woman quite like you, and you have my adoration for that.
Well, you know, the good Lord made one of us each for a very specific purpose, because the world can't handle more than one of any of us, I'm pretty sure. But if y'all are listening to this episode and you too have a story to share, you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, and you would like to appear, give me a shout at Leigh Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to appear in a future episode. Subscribe for more. Give us 5 stars if you've enjoyed it. And until then, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Leigh Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.